Let's open with hymn 376. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. Thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Heavenly Father, who didst manifest thyself with the Holy Ghost in the fullness of grace at the baptism of thy dear Son, and with thy voice didst direct us to him who hath borne our sins that we might receive grace and the remission of sins. Keep us, we beseech thee, in the true faith. And inasmuch as we have been baptized in accordance with thy command and the example of thy dear Son, we pray thee to strengthen our faith by thy Holy Spirit and lead us to everlasting life and salvation through thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. Amen. The Old Testament lesson for Quinquagesima Sunday is found in the 8th chapter of Jeremiah, the 4th through the 9th verse. Moreover, you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, will they fall and not rise? Will one turn away and not return? Why has this people slidden back Jerusalem in a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. I listened and heard, but they do not speak aright. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his own course, as the horse rushes into battle. Even the stork in the heavens knows her appointed times, and the turtle dove, the swift, and the swallow observe the time of their coming, but my people do not know the judgment of the Lord. How can you say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Look, the false pen of the scribe certainly works falsehood. The wise men are ashamed, they are dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom do they have? Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the 1st through the 13th verse. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself and is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Here ends the epistle. Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the peoples. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. The Holy Gospel is found in the 18th chapter of Luke, the 31st through the 43rd verse. Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him. And the third day he will rise again. But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. Then it happened as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, What do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Here ends the gospel.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We now confess the Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We sing hymn 353.
Now thanks for love.
mercy and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the 18th chapter of Luke, the 31st through the 43rd verse. Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked, and insulted, and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again. But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. Then it happened, as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And those that went before warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, What do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are thy words. By them open our eyes that we may see thee through faith and believe that thy Son Jesus Christ is our Lord and Redeemer. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, who would imagine it, but in our lesson today we are showed how blindness was a blessing for at least one man. For because of his blindness, he did not keep silence when Jesus passed by, but cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Most people do not cry out to Jesus for mercy, for they are taken by another form of blindness that most certainly is not blessed. They are not blind in their eyes, but in their heart. They are blind to their weakness and helpless condition. They are blind to their sins and to the great offense it gives to the God who gives them life and breath and bodily needs. They are blind to the grace of God in Jesus Christ. It would be better for them if they actually were blind and forced to beg for their daily bread and experience in their flesh how it is with their soul. The blind man was blessed above the blind-hearted who surrounded him. For he alone cried out for the mercy of God as Jesus Christ passed by. Even so, blessed are all they who know that before God they are but beggars. There are the blind in heart and the blind in eye, but the disciples reveal another kind of blindness, the blind in mind. They could not understand the simple words which Jesus used to speak of the means of salvation which the Father in his wisdom had ordained, the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of his Son. This blindness truly was an impediment, and like all blindness, one that only God himself could cure. And he would indeed cure it after the things which Jesus prophesied had come to pass. But until then, they would not understand the manner of their salvation or of Jesus' reign as the King who sits upon the throne of his father David forever. This is the third time that Jesus had predicted his arrest, torture, crucifixion, and resurrection. And it was likewise the third time the disciples did not understand. As Jesus spoke three times, Luke explains their ignorance in a threefold manner. They understood none of these things. The saying was hidden from them. They did not know the things which were spoken. Oh, we could easily say, tisk, tisk, those disciples. What's it going to take for them to believe? But that assumption is wrong. The disciples did believe fervently on Jesus. In spite of their ignorance, they were fine examples of faith. They had forsaken all to follow him. They had confessed that he was Christ, the Son of God. He was their Lord and Savior, and knowing this and trusting this, they were saved. It was their understanding that was blind, not their faith. It is not by knowledge or understanding that a man is justified, but by faith. The facts of salvation cannot save a person. Even knowing them well does not change the way in which God regards that man. If it did, then all of Satan's angels would be saved. For they all believed that God was manifested in the flesh of Jesus Christ, put to death for our sins, and raised from the dead. Yet they have no faith, and are the eternal enemies of God, setting themselves against all that he does. If it were the right understanding that made a man acceptable to God, then we would be in a sorry state indeed, little better than those devils who also believe these facts. We in our simple-mindedness could never be certain that our understanding of the mechanics of salvation were sufficient enough to count as true faith with God. We would have to despair for our children, or for the simple-minded who cannot understand the great depths of knowledge and wisdom that is contained in the gospel. The mentally handicapped could not be saved. Worse yet, we would inevitably delude ourselves into boasting, "I am saved because I'm smart enough to comprehend the gospel." Then it would not be by faith that we are saved, but by intellect. If indeed salvation was ours by having the right understanding, then we could certainly not be saved. For the gospel, as plainly declared here by Christ, is not understood by the disciples because by nature man is utterly incapable of understanding the gospel. It's incomprehensible to man. The same standard of human reason by which so many great things have been accomplished in this world considers the content of the gospel, that God in Christ Jesus has paid for the sins of the whole world, as not only foolish, but offensive. Considering these wondrous things of the Spirit, our rational minds are defective. As much as insisting that when it comes to salvation, 2 + 2 does indeed equal 5. It is true that the disciples should have understood the plain words of Jesus. They can indeed be faulted for this, for they were called to be apostles and to declare the things of the kingdom of God. Yet their fault was not unbelief. They did not reject the things which Jesus said, which would indeed have damned them. Rather, they were confused and unknowing. The saying was hidden from them so that they could not even know it when it was before their eyes. Such confusion and ignorance does not preclude or destroy faith. Some people can live all their lives never attaining much knowledge at all in the great truths of the Scriptures, yet can confess their sins and know that Jesus forgives them and is their Savior. In this faith, they have everything. All the knowledge of Scripture is a treasure indeed, but all of it leads to this same place, to trust in the God of salvation. For it is not the knowledge, but that simple childlike trust that saves. And without that simple childlike trust, none at all are ever saved. If you want to know how offensive this simple understanding of salvation is, you need not look no further than how men are opposed to the blessings of baptism, where we are assured in the Word of God that a man receives the forgiveness of sins even if he is but a babe or has the understanding of a child. Why should it be that in baptism even our little ones are saved? Because the faith which saves is not a knowledge of the mechanism of salvation in Jesus Christ, but is simply this: trust in God who is their helper and their salvation. As an infant trusts in the safety of his mother's arms and is comforted at her breast, so also is that same infant comforted in baptism that he finds a Savior who loves him and keeps him. He will have to be much older before his rational mind is refined enough to contradict the trust which he has in his Savior. Call it blind faith if you must, but for the child, such blind faith is truly a blessing. so also was the blindness of the poor beggar in our lesson a blessing. In a world before Braille and the many accommodations which our world is able to make for the blind, this man's condition reduced him to begging, because there was no productive labor in which he could engage and receive an honest wage. This man, in his physical condition, perfectly mirrored the natural state of every man's soul, for we are all spiritually blind to God and incapable of earning the gracious regard or good favor of our Lord. And lacking any such spiritual power, all we can do is beg. Therefore, before God, we are all beggars indeed. This man, despite his blindness, was truly blessed. For knowing to do nothing but beg for his daily bread, he could only beg for the bread which endures forever. When he heard the crowd making quite a noise and did not know the source, he asked what the commotion was about and was told, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." How often does such a thing happen, that Jesus passes by? In his birth and life, in his death and resurrection, he has passed by in front of the whole world of men. He has ascended into heaven, where he is our personal advocate before the Father. He passes by in just the same manner whenever his name is declared among men. But how many then cry out, as did the blind man, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Too few indeed. And how sad it is, for how often will such an opportunity come again? Jesus passes by, and one man says, "I am already rich. I'm healthy and have a good family and good friends," affirms another. "I am very spiritual, and I love the things which the Creator has made," thinks a third. And thinking that they already have all that they need, Jesus passes them by, and they never cry out, and therefore they never receive what only Jesus can give. No one could accuse Jesus of keeping silent, for he preached wherever he went, and he sent his disciples to preach in still more places. Since in his humility Jesus was only one man, and he could not go everywhere at once. His words were declared throughout Israel, even as they are declared today throughout the world. But what do the words of Jesus mean to men as he passes by? Even if he had shouted the prophecy of his resurrection, of his death and resurrection, from the mountaintop, instead of just speaking it in private to his disciples, would others then have believed? We already know the answer, for we see how the people ridiculed Jesus wherever he tried to plainly teach them of himself, that he was the eternal Son of God. In fact, then they reacted by taking up stones to stone him. And there you have it, the reaction of every kind of man, from self-indulgent indifference to aggressive persecution as Jesus passes by. But in all that crowd, one man in blindness and destitution cries out, "Jesus, have mercy on me." What a blessing his blindness was. It would be better if each of us were likewise struck blind or paralyzed or otherwise made helpless and beggars, and so be driven to cry out for the help of Jesus in our need, rather than to silently watch him pass by. And how great indeed is this beggar's faith when the crowd tries to silence him, for his need was great. As Jesus passes by, it might seem that he's oblivious to our needs and uncaring. Sometimes it has been his own disciples, sadly, who try to silence those who are in need with words like, "Do not bother Jesus. He has better things to do than to listen to a poor, blind beggar." In truth, Jesus already knows our needs. And he knows that he will help us. And nevertheless, the Lord declares, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." And therefore, as much as the people tried to silence him, the blind man cried out all the more. And God is pleased by such prayers, which trust in him in our need. Sometimes he does not answer immediately so that we will cry out all the more. For God would have us practice our faith so that it does not grow weak with disuse. In mercy, Jesus answers the man's call, and he gives sight to his eyes. He declares, "Your faith has made you well." And why does Jesus say this so often when he healed men? Because it is only by faith that a man is made whole before God, and not by anything else. Not by his strength, not by the power of his intellect, not by the great deeds which he has done, or by the love which he has in his heart. It is by faith and faith alone that a man is justified and made spiritually whole. Here in his holy Christian church, Jesus does not only pass by, but he comes and he dwells among us. He enlightens our eyes, and he gives us not only faith, but understanding and wisdom and knowledge. We both trust in his salvation and delight to know the wondrous wisdom of heaven which his word reveals. How richly indeed he blesses us with his mercy and his truth. We who are poor and unworthy of his love can only beg for his regard, and yet he makes us more than beggars, but children. And therefore, may we ever cry out for help in our need. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, and he will always hear and grant us his salvation. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us pray.
O Lord God, Heavenly Father, whose ways are mercy and truth to such as keep thy covenant and thy testimonies, let the gentle dew of thy peace fall upon all who have come this day into thy house to offer unto thee the sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving. In the name of thy Son, and for his sake, pardon our iniquity. Remember not the sins of our youth nor our transgressions, but in thy great mercy forgive us. Restore our souls, lead us into thy truth. Teach us thy ways, be gracious unto us, and bring us out of all our distresses. O Lord Jesus Christ, thou Son of David, who didst prophesy thy passion and death, have mercy upon us. Open our sin-darkened eyes to behold thy glory and to rejoice in thy salvation. Give us faith that we may believe in thy power and in thy love, that thou art able to grant our petitions and art willing to save all that come unto the Father by thee. O Holy Spirit, Lord and giver of life, who alone leadeth men from the darkness of error into the light of the kingdom of Christ, enlighten our understanding. Teach us of the great love wherewith Christ has redeemed us. And with this knowledge, establish in our hearts the hope of everlasting life and an enduring love for God and our neighbor. O Holy Triune God, in whom we live and move and have our being, bless this house that it may be continually a place where thine honor dwells, thy name is praised, and thy truth is proclaimed. Bless our homes that they may be rooted and grounded in love and every good work. Help all those among us who may be enduring any affliction, trial, or adversity, and reveal the exceeding greatness of thy power to all who believe. Look in mercy upon the nations of the earth, and cause all peoples and rulers to yield to thy authority, that in every place thy name might be hallowed, thy kingdom prospered, and thy will be done, even as it is done in heaven. To this end, cause thy church to go forth to the nations, preaching thy gospel with courage and boldness, and manifesting thy grace and glory with works of love and compassion. Now unto him whose name we bear, whose doctrine we confess, and whom though we now see but darkly, we shall one day see face to face, even Jesus Christ, be honor and glory forevermore. Amen. We sing hymn 380. Thank you. Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. We sing hymn 49.
Oh,
The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Been with us in spirit in a number of our services, tuning in from Milwaukee. I'm sure most everyone's received the email that Matt and Chrissy had their baby, Daniel Nathan Howe. Yes. And so the baptism is going to be March 8th. So had quite a full house that day. My rest of my family is homesick. Sick at home. All right.
Yeah.